Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome on, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Southern Bank Core Studios in Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson, Southern Bank Core Studio in Laurel. We're glad you're with us around the state, wherever you're tuned in. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, as it is every day, and it's still a great place. Take your family for a wonderful meal tonight or to cater your next event, whatever you're in the market for. Dickie's has a plan for you, and the food will always be delicious. Later in the show, we're going to hear from Southern Miss quarterbacks Ethan Crawford and Zach Wilkie, but we've got Patrick McGee from NOLA.com on the phone with us today, and a lot to talk about. May keep Patrick around a little bit. Patrick, will talk to you, obviously, about the upcoming news with the New Orleans Saints, and upcoming we'll have that conversation. But first, Southern Miss baseball loses to Ole Miss last night 11-5, and it was another struggle when it came to pitching midweek. And you made the perfect comment off the air, and you're exactly right. If Billy Odom, who was penciled in as the weeknight starter, were healthy, it'd be a completely different scenario right now for the Golden Eagles in midweek, right?
Yeah, and we saw what he did against UNO, obviously, as different competition. But he's a guy that, you know, you put him on the mound, he's going to give you a shot. And any injuries to that staff, was Southern Miss was just going to feel it more this East compared to a year ago, where they could kind of easily plug in and go. You just lost a lot of guys on that staff to the draft, and one guy transfers to Florida. So just in sheer numbers, it's tough, you know, at this level to compete against good teams in midweek. If you don't have another, you know, that solid fourth starter, and Odom can be that guy, he's shown he can be that guy. But right now, they just don't have that. They're just trying to do a Johnny Holstaff midweek, and that's really tough to do against any of the top, you know, SEC programs like Mississippi State or Ole Miss. They're just going to have really good lineups. They're going to take advantage of pitchers who make mistakes, and that's what's happening. It's we'll see. If Southern Miss gets a little healthier in the long run, all this will be forgotten. I think they're fine for now. I like what they're doing on the weekends in terms of pitching, but no, it's nowhere near time to panic about losing some of these midweek games as well as they've pitched on weekends for the most part.
Luke sent me a text last night right after the game, Patrick. 4 base on balls, 3 hit pitchers, 2 wild pitches.
Yeah,
you're not going to beat Ole Miss doing that.
No, you got to be clean. I mean, I think they, you know. What they wanted to do is, you know, just put a guy on the mound and can pitch the contact to a degree and put the ball in play, but don't put it over the heart of the plate. He did that a couple of times in the second inning, and we saw what happened there. So it's just young guys that don't have all the experience at this level, or at least not at, you know, pitching as SEC teams. So, yeah, I mean, they made mistakes. I mean, there was also a balk that brought in a run, if I'm not mistaken, one there. So, yeah, it was just an inexperienced staff, a staff that's not used to working at that level of competition.
All right, Kelly Center, you got a college pitcher in your house, actually. Takes these kids a little while to make that adjustment to Division I, like Patrick said, and then when you're playing the likes of Ole Miss, I mean, you better be playing your best game.
But it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. These kids will grow as pitchers, and But I want to go to something regarding, you know, Odom. There was an injury there, all right? Tate Parker's been in and out of the lineup with injuries. The I word keeps coming up with this team early on in the season, where we hardly ever heard of any of the Eagles other than at the catcher position last year, where the Eagles, by and large, last year went the entire season without any major injuries. And you're starting to see these little nagging ones come up. And as Patrick was saying, you can't have too many, you know, particularly on the pitching staff, or it's going to hurt. But the bottom line is, on the weekends, the Eagles have been performing. Those are the ones that are going to count when you get into conference play, for seeding, and so on. So I'm also, like Patrick, a lot of baseball to go. No time to press the panic button.
All right, and Luke, you're not pressing any panic buttons either, I don't get think.
I'm not, but it's really frustrating to have the bases loaded twice and to leave them that way. And it seems as if we had opportunities early in that game to go up, you know, four or five runs. Ole Miss hit the four spot in the fourth. We had an opportunity, you know, we did the four spot in the sixth. But that four spot in the sixth could have been a six spot, you know, and we had the opportunity early to do that. It just, the stat that came across to me last night, and Patrick, I'll throw this back to you on it. So far, we're like 3 for 23 on scoring opportunities with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
And there's like seven strikeouts in that. And, you know, it was just the fact when they brought Kimbrell in last night to face Wilkes, I said, you know, his splits, righty or lefty, are pretty staggering. He is hot against righties, and lefties, he's just ice cold.
Right. Yeah, and you talk about the not converting with men on base. I mean, heck, that was an issue last year. As good a team as they were, they weren't very good at, you know, put together big innings. So it's something that's kind of followed them to a degree. And they're scratching enough runs across the win. And that's a good development. There was at times whenever Southern Miss would just go dead silent, it felt like, you know, at times on offense. But the good sign is that they're, you know, putting enough across for a good pitching performance to win. And that wasn't always the case last year at certain points. So I think, you know, Sargent will get going. Wilkes has still got to grow a little as a hitter. Same for Pato. But these guys have just got to get progressively better and be hitting their best going into May. And that's whenever this team will decide how good of a season it's going to be. You know, you can relate it back to the basketball team that kind of leveled off to a degree late in the year, and that's kind of came back to bite them there in the conference tournament. So it's all about how this team progresses as the season goes on and if they're hitting their best going into the postseason.
The thing that the other aspect to it is you should have beat Mississippi State last week.
Yeah,
It'd have been tough last night. I mean, if we score more in the first – you know, third of the ball game. It's a much tighter ball game, even with Ole Miss scoring those runs. But I mean, you don't have that many, you know, RPI midweek games left. You get Southeastern Louisiana. You do get Ole Miss again. You know, you do get them again. But you get Tech a few times, and you get Tulane. And you look up, and you know that's the season. And so these midweeks, I guess that's what it is to me. Last week hurt my pride because we should have won that one. But you got to take advantage of RPI. I think the Sun Belt RPI is going to be high enough where you don't have to. But I mean, you know, you start losing midweeks, your opportunities to host start fading.
Yeah, well, I'm not so much midweek. I think it's just non-conference in general, and the sweeps of Liberty and Dallas Baptist. I think when they get whatever issues, and I think eventually they'll start picking off some of these midweek games, not necessarily against Ole Miss or whatever, but they'll start picking up some of these games. And, Sun Belt will be a strong RPI league. So I don't think they're hurting themselves in terms of hosting. They just got to, you know, get a win streak or two going and going into the conference play.
And I contend, too, that the midweeks will depend largely on the health of Billy Odom. The sooner they can get him back and healthy. And this is a guy that can pitch. And if you have a pitcher of that quality throwing for you on Tuesday night, I think you're going to win a lot of games, Patrick. All right, look, 2 minutes left, and we're going to hold you over because we want to talk about the Saints. But this just broke this morning that Jay Ladner is a finalist for the Hugh Durham Award, which is the top Division I mid-major college coach, and obviously in college basketball. Even though they didn't win the tournament, it was a remarkable year for Southern Miss. And, you know, he may very well be really in the running to win that thing, Patrick.
Yeah, he would be a strong contender if this is based on a coach, you know, putting together a turnaround, and it's really nobody really compares as bad as Southern Miss was a year ago to win a conference title. Yeah, that alone makes Jay Ladner a strong candidate for an award like this, top mid-major. We'll see how that plays out. There's a lot of you know, I guess I haven't seen the other candidates, but there's a lot of really high mid-majors that just have that kind of cachet sometimes that can kind of outweigh something like this. But no doubt Jay Ladner would have a strong resume for an award like that.
And it couldn't have come at a better time for Jay Ladner. He's in the last year of his contract. You know, the agent and Jeremy McClain, you know, talking. If he would happen to win that award, that would be another quiver, another arrow in the quiver. When you're negotiating a new contract.
Well, there can be no question, right, Patrick? He's going to get a new contract.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In a contract year, he's hit 50 homers, so he's good.
50 homers, that's pretty good. All right, we got our buddy Patrick McGee on the phone with us. When we come back, huge news for the New Orleans Saints. I know Luke was pretty happy when this news broke, and I think the Saints have made a big trade, Kelly Sander, that puts them back in contention now to play for the big game.
Now, if the Southern Miss Eagles could solidify a position.
Quarterback spot just like that.
Golden Eagles.
Yes.
Golden Eagles.
What did I say? Southern Eagles. Miss Eagles?
There we go. Oh. All right. Well, anyway, we'll talk about the Saints when we come back. Quick reminder about Jana King. They've been cleaning businesses here in the Pine Belt for 35 years. They can clean your business, too. Jana King, the king of clean. Go to JanaKingCleans.com. That's JanaKingCleans.com. More with Patrick the Professor right after this.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, no sun fade today. There's one tomorrow. I have no explanation for why there wouldn't be one today. I'm not a scientist. You probably know that, Sander, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, it's only when I sunbathe.
Oh, that explains it.
I block the sun.
That explains it. You didn't do that today.
That's right.
Wow.
Well,
wasn't I thinking? Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. It is a great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. Miss Kathleen is the best. They're located on Hardy Street. You can shop them online at campusbookmark.net. Remind you, too, you hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Patrick, I've been looking forward to this interview all week. Big news about what I think is really a new era of Saints football with Derek Carr coming to be the quarterback. I personally believe he's the caliber quarterback that could lead the Saints deep into the playoffs and make another potential Super Bowl run.
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, he's far and away the best quarterback in the NFC South currently. I don't see any of the other teams. I think the Falcons might go back and draft and try to get a quarterback. The Panthers might have Sam Darnold, and the Buccaneers might have Kyle Trask. So you definitely take Derek Carr with that batch. And all you got to do is win the division, get a home playoff game. So, you know, you win the division, you get that home playoff game, you convert there, then you're one win away, you know, from the NFC Championship game. This is very all a simplistic view of
right.
this. You know, anything could go wrong. You know, Alvin Kamara's status is in question. But it looks like an investment that's smart for the Saints.
I agree.
That they can compete right away.
Right. And it looks like to me the Bucs are on the downslide. I think their heyday may be a little past them. The Saints with Carr as quarterback, I got to believe the prohibitive favorite to win the conference.
Well, it's the division. I wouldn't
division.
Say the conference.
The division, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what this was all done for. It's obvious the Saints are set up. They had the defense in place to compete if they can stay a little healthier. And, I mean, as long as they get the running back position somewhat resolved in terms of maybe going to get that through the draft or going out getting a free agent, you know, as a whole, the pieces are there on offense. Now there's some debate on whether Michael Thomas could possibly come back now. He responded positively to the news of Derek Carr getting on board with the Saints, and there's talk that the Saints and Thomas may be able to rework his contract to where it makes more sense going forward. So If you get a health, you know, Michael Thomas is out on the field 13, 14 games. I guess 17 games is too much to ask for. But, you know, you see a lot of pieces there to that team that's going to be, you know, a tough team within the NFC if they can stay healthy and everything falls in place for them.
No, but you just hit the nail on the head. The problem with Michael Thomas is he's never healthy.
Right.
You know, I mean, the two best things about players is their ability and their availability, right? And Thomas just hasn't been available. Was the relationship with Dennis Allen what eventually swung this car's way to sign with the Saints, Patrick?
Yeah, well, I think comfort level had a lot to do with it. The Saints were, I think, from what I understand, the most aggressive team in pursuing Derek Carr. So I think there were a lot of things that just made sense. We talked about it, you know, just the NFC has got a much clearer path, whether it's in the division or getting deep into the playoffs, than what you're seeing in the AFC and the quarterback situation over there. There were just a lot of things that were going the Saints' way. Going in the AFC East and with the Jets, it just would have been a lot tougher and a little bit less certainty. There's been some kind of, even though there was improvement with the Jets last year, you're still just kind of uncertain on what's kind of going, how things are going to go from here on out. But I think he walked into a situation with the Saints that he knew exactly what he was getting into.
Luke?
So Patrick, yeah, I guess I missed that whole deal. I was looking at it when Kelly brought it up, you know, that actually Allen was the coach that brought him into the league. But, I mean, mm-hmm. you get – I don't want to jinx him here. I don't really believe in jinxes, so I'll just go ahead and say it. You get durability. You know, he's every yeah. game other than sitting out these last two, you know, I mean, he's played basically in, you know, 142 games. Threw for almost 5,000 yards 2 years ago. And the most that he's ever thrown interception-wise is 14, which he threw last year and this year. But at the same time, I think the most important stat to me is people say, well, you know, he didn't do much at in Los Angeles, Las Vegas. But he's never had a defense like this. Is it true that he hasn't had it ever played on a top 20 defense during his entire time in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it was always a shootout with the Raiders, it felt like. You know, it was never one of those things to where, hey, we can let the defense handle this one. He never really thought of, you know, heard about that much with the Raiders. And, you know, he's a guy that can make all the throws, you know, and not every, you know, the Saints have lacked that the last 2 years. Yeah, Jameis Winston had a great arm, but he struggled with any intermediate tosses. And I think Carr's more consistent there. You saw Carr's completion percentage consistently go up until this last year where Josh McDaniels just seems to be poisoned as a head coach when it comes to offense. Yeah. You know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in what happened last year with the Raiders. The only reasons he sat those last two games because McDaniels benched him. He, you know, it's time to move on. Let's, you know, look to the. I mean, it. I don't know, but I think Carr has got a lot left in him at his age. He's a good athlete. He's got a lot left to live there. He's just got to avoid turnovers, avoid fumbles, and just not hold on to the ball too long. As long as he's efficient as the Saints quarterback, he's going to be good.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the touchdown, 217 touchdowns and 99 interceptions, almost a 65% completion rate. Let's go the other side. Let's talk the contract side. A lot of people are, you know, about this. Carr actually, his contract got finalized before Daniel Jones. And you look at what Daniel Jones is, $160 million. Carr's getting $150 million. I mean, I would, in this situation, I would rather have Carr than Jones. And so it appears to me that the Saints actually probably got him a little under market value.
Yeah, the average 37.5 for Carr, and then 40 for Daniel Jones. So, yeah, I think in terms of a price point, the Saints got him probably right where they needed to get him. And the quarterback money is really going through the roof right now, and Lamar Jackson is about to make a whole lot of money here pretty soon, I would assume. So, yeah, I mean, it's the Saints got him in early. And I see saying, oh, Saints fans, oh, we could have tried to get Lamar Jackson. You weren't getting Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson is going to have to be paid a lot of money to get pulled away from the Ravens at this point. So
he turned down $250 million. He turned down $250 million.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't really followed that closely, but I'm kind of scratching my head on that. I know Lamar is basically acting as his own agent, and rightly he should be asking for a lot of money. But
but
wants it all guaranteed, basically.
But you know who? There's a new sheriff in town on the offensive side of the ball in Baltimore, Todd Monken. So he's gonna have a say, I would think, in what goes down there in Baltimore, one way or the other.
All right, Patrick. So does this mean Jameis Winston is gone, and does Andy Dalton remain the backup quarterback? Which to me would make sense. He's a solid backup at this stage of his career, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the price is right, they could definitely look at Dom. But yeah, Jameis Winston, he's done. He'll be moving on. He'll probably have a chance to compete for a starting job somewhere else, possibly Indianapolis or somewhere like that. But Winston is going to move on. I suspect we'll hear something on that fairly soon. But in terms of a backup quarterback for the Saints, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think they would probably consider Dalton if he didn't ask for too much money. But it could really be anybody. I mean, but these days, you know, you need that backup. It's just uncertain who that'll be.
A one Nick Mullins might be available.
Yeah. That wouldn't be a bad option. A little youth and a little upside.
Yeah, he's bounced around a lot.
Jameis Winston could compete with the Montreal Alouettes. That might be what he has to wind up with.
I think he's done, Patrick. You think Winston's done as
a quarterback? No, he showed enough promise with the Saints that he's still got the strong arm. And, you know, you saw that first year with Peyton, he cut down the interception. So he'll get another opportunity.
Yeah. And Kelly's bewildered that Brady hasn't announced an unretirement yet, aren't you, Sandra?
Well, you know, that's been going around social media, is that he may not be done yet. You know, that
Patrick, he's got to be done, right? He's got to be done.
Yeah, I think he's actually done this time.
Yeah, I think we've seen enough of Tom Brady.
I saw enough of Tom Brady 10 years ago.
Enough to last for a while. So, last question, Patrick. I would think there's a little hubbub in New Orleans and some excitement about Carr coming in, because the quarterback is obviously what they've been searching for since Brees stepped aside.
Yeah, I'm not seeing unanimity in terms of people saying, oh, he's the savior. You know, that's not the case really at all. I think there's a little bit of, you know, cautious waiting and see. Because, you know, Carr coming off a rough season. There's a lot to be seen here. I mean, can Pete Carmichael and Carr work together to really kind of build a really top-end NFC offense? I'm on the fence on that. So it just remains to be seen, but there's a lot of reason to believe that this is going to work better than what we've seen the last two seasons.
All right, Patrick, we always appreciate you. Enjoyed the good long visit with you, my man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. Speaking of quarterbacks, when we come back, we talked to Ethan Crawford this week at football practice along with Zach Wilkie. I think people are going to like this Crawford kid, Kelly. He's recovering from a knee injury, and he's a freshman. My guess is probably will be redshirted this year. No one's told me that. But big personality, big smile, and a lot of upside. This could be the quarterback of the future for the Golden Eagles.
And competition makes everybody better. You know, on a postscript to the Saints situation, now Dennis Allen doesn't have an excuse. He's got a full, bona fide, certified quarterback now. Let's see what you can do.
Meanwhile, there is smoke on the water. I see it, Kelly.
I hear it in the background.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Always enjoy the conversations with Patrick McGee. Always will be grateful to the contribution he has made to this program since the very first week we were on the air, and continues to show up every week. And now, really a great source of information, Kelly, for Saints. He's right down there in the middle of it and doing a good job covering the Saints.
And he's got his hands on the pulse of a lot of different things and can, you know, talk well about Southern Miss still, even.
Yeah, including his social life. He's had his hands on the pulse of that since he's moved down there, the best I can tell.
Little bit more to do in New Orleans, you know.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour, and it is a great place to catch the next big game. I guarantee all the baseball games will be on TV this weekend at 4th Street. Friday's a good day to go every week, because that's when they have, I think, as good a catfish as you'll eat anywhere. 4th Street Bar Grill right there in the shadow of the Rock. All right, we've been talking about quarterbacks, and Luke Johnson, we talked to two this week. We want to bring those conversations to our listeners. But one is Ethan Crawford, and he's an interesting kid out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Injured his knee the last game of his senior year, or they think his team would have likely have won the state championship there. And you said he had a lot of offers coming to Southern Miss.
He did. Ethan Crawford out of Hillcrest High School. It's a 6A school in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. 6 feet, 200-pound quarterback, dual-threat guy. Had a lot of offers. And the reason being is coming out of his junior year, he accounted for 41 touchdowns his junior year. Ran for 885 yards, 17 touchdowns. Threw for 2,300 yards and 24 touchdowns. As you mentioned, this year a perfect 10-0 and then got hurt in the last game of the season. He scored another 27 touchdowns this year. You look at his offers. Offers from Georgia Tech, Georgia State, Kentucky, Maryland, Mississippi State, Central Florida, UAB, but committed to Southern Miss last June and, of course, signed this past signing class.
And he tells us he's happy to be here. Here is the maybe the quarterback of the future, Ethan Crawford. Okay, Ethan Crawford on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Ethan, you come here from Tuscaloosa. You're new on the campus, but I understand you're competing for the starting job.
Yes, sir, I am. Just every day that we come out here, we all compete and just try to make the right decision in everything we do.
All right, I'm told you had a lot of offers coming out of high school in Tuscaloosa. What led you to become a Golden Eagle?
Just meet the talk that I had with Coach Hall and a relationship that we made when I first talked to him and came down to camp. And then the relationship he had with my high school coach was really a big factor for me. And the things that he told me we could do that I could do here was a big factor of me coming here too.
So you've seen that Coach Hall is a real low energy, low key guy?
Yeah. He's an awesome guy. You never see him in a bad spot. He's always got a great attitude. He always makes you want to be the best at whatever you're doing, and he's a great encourager.
I saw you had some bad luck. You were injured. Am I right? Your last game in high school. Talk a little bit about that and how your rehab went. Obviously, you're back ready to go.
Yeah, I got injured the last regular season game of my high school career, which ended my high school career in a big playoff run we had hopes for. But on with the next journey. The next week, I endured surgery, and I've been on a rehab ever since then. And it's been going good. I'm on a good track right now. I say about 2 to 3 more months left in my recovery, and I'm looking forward to get back 100%.
Okay, tell us about your experience so far here in Hattiesburg, the culture of Southern Miss football.
Oh, I'm loving it. Seems like ever since I've got down here, everybody's been winning. Basketball, baseball, and it's just...
Maybe it's you.
Yeah. it's just a good feeling around the city. Everybody is welcome me with open arms that have known me around the town. I couldn't ask for better. I just feel I'm very happy in the decision I made with coming here.
So coming from high school here, you're in your second week of spring ball. What do you see different in the level of talent, speed? I mean, what do you see as the biggest differences?
Everybody's great. Everybody's competing at the highest level. Like, everybody wants the same goal. We all want to win here. So everybody's going to bring their best every day. So if you slack, somebody else is going to be right behind you, pushing you to be better every day. So just the competition, I would say, like, and the speed of the game is definitely faster than it was in high school. And the work ethic here is different. Like, everybody want to be great.
All right, scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you to be a Golden Eagle?
A 12.
A 12.
Yes, sir.
Best of luck to you, young man.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's Ethan Crawford. Zach Wilkie is one of four quarterbacks we believe in contention for the starting job. He, of course, is the quarterback with a little bit of a leg up because he played in several games last year, and he says that is to his advantage. Okay, Zach Wilkie on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Zach, quarterback competition underway, but you're the guy that was on the field last year, so that's got to be a leg up for you.
Yeah, no, these guys came in. They're pretty good guys. We're just competing, trying to get better every day. So we'll see who's the guy at the end of fall camp. So.
All right, so you got thrown into the fire last year. What did you learn from that experience? What did you take away from your time on the field?
Yeah, I just gained a lot of live reps, live experience. College is obviously a lot bigger, a lot faster. The Sun Belt's a really good football conference, and we played a lot of good teams. So I got a lot of good experience, and I'd do it all over again. So,
what did you find was the biggest difference in high school and Division I college quarterbacking?
Probably just the amount of information you have to have pre-snap, post-snap, seeing who the run fitter is and things like that. So it's just the
the pace of the game and just the reads. So
yeah. It's as much mental as physical. Is that fair to say?
That's 100% true. Maybe even more.
Yeah. Okay, so a good year last year, a good season, bowl win, a lot of momentum and enthusiasm, I'm going to assume, coming into spring ball.
Yeah, no, these guys are fired up after we won the bowl game. Trey Lowe came in for me at the end of the season. He's a really good dude. He did a good job at the end of the season, so it was encouraging. So
what do you see here in spring practice?
I feel like the health of the team just it's grown. I feel like we're a lot better football team than we were at this time last year. We got a lot more playmakers. We had playmakers last year, but I don't know. It's just all around health of the wellness of the team is just a lot better. So,
all right, good luck to you.
Yep.
All right, Lou Johnson, four guys competing really for the starting job. The freshman, you kind of, again, think that maybe he would be redshirted. How big a leg up is that for Wilkie that he actually got on the field last year?
Well, he knows the offense. This is year two in the offense. Wiles and Edwards still learning. I'm with you. I don't see how you get two transfers in along with Wilkie and expect. It's just really hard to play freshman quarterback D1s. Crawford, of course, with the injury as well. He's limited. And so I think it's really between those three. But yeah, Wilkie has rapport with receivers, not just in practice, but in games. And that does, I don't know necessarily if that gives him a leg up in the sense that Wiles and Edwards are behind him, but they have to play catch up with a guy who's already been in the system.
Would you think we'll know who the quarterback is going to be when the spring football game is held, or do you think that mystery will carry on into the fall?
It just will depend on the performance of these guys. We'll separate. Last year, what did we hear coming out of spring? We heard that Ty Keyes had separated himself. And so in one way, you want that to happen because then you know that you've got a guy. So here's the thing. If one guy separates himself, that's good. If nobody separates while everybody is playing at a high, level, that's okay as well. Because the guy that finally emerges from a real competitive quality, it's not just like everybody's the same, nobody's been having good practices. But if you have, three guys that have been, or even two guys that have had a lot of reps, high quality, they're practicing very well, that's not a bad thing at all, because that will just make both of those guys better come quarterback battle in the fall.
I think that makes a lot of sense. But then the question becomes, will somebody separate themselves, this spring? Is it enough time? I mean, you don't really get a whole lot of time, in spring drills. So how much weight is a spring drill going to be carried into the fall? But one thing is for certain, and we've talked about this before, and Zach, just said that we got some playmakers on this team, but if you don't have a quarterback to be able to help make those plays, there's only so much you can expect. I mean, nobody more than Will Hall is hoping that somebody emerges and, really separates themselves.
He is a quarterback, so it's driving him crazy.
And then not only that they separate themselves, but that they continue to perform at that level so that there's absolutely no doubt who your guy is going into game one.
Well, I'll tell you this. You can't tell any difference in fall practice and spring football when you're out there. It's high intensity, and Will Hall has everybody moving.
Well, at our age, Bob, walking is intense.
Yeah, I get tired just watching those guys.
Yeah,
and
no.
I'm sitting in the I'm sitting on the tractor over there generally with Jack watching, and I feel a little winded, when practice is over.
Yeah, it is pretty intense, but they're competing, there's nothing wrong with competition. It makes everybody better, and that's something in this country we're losing sight of.
Because there's two types of competition as we hit this break. There's a competition where it's a competition because everybody's terrible, and so there's nobody that emerges. Or there's competition where, there's two or three guys that can play because everybody's, quality, and that's what you want. And so that, in a sense, if there's competition coming out of the springs, we've been talking about this, everybody seems to stick around, too. That helps.
Fun being at practice. Will Hall just welcomes us there, and we just really can't thank Coach enough for his openness. We'll be right back. Last segment of the Eagle Hour next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Wednesday brought to you, as always, by DBAT and D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. It's going to be raining a little bit. Spring breaks next week. Supposed to rain a little bit then, too. And, man, your kids out of school need something for them to do during the day. Or maybe because of the rain, you can't get in some hitting lessons or some work. DBAT D1 has everything you need. So just remember that spring break next week. Great opportunity to get the kids in great facilities. Great instruction, DBAT, Hattiesburg.com. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And, Laurel, if you missed the talk with Patrick McGee, we'll recap the Ole Miss-Southern Miss game and also talk about Derek Carr signing with the Saints. You can hit us up on podcast form, Eagle Hour in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Audible. Softball split with Jackson State yesterday up in Jackson. Lady Eagles 15-4 on the year. Lost the first game 6-5. Rebounded with the nightcap, won 9-3. They will. They don't play for another week. They get the weekend off. We'll take on Southeastern on next Wednesday in Hattiesburg. Ladies golf closes out the Trinity Invitational, Trinity Forest Invitational in Dallas. Finished 14th. Lucy Nunn Burke just talked about how big a field it was, but they're and it was a great opportunity for them to be around some real quality golf. She said this event was a huge opportunity for us to measure up on a big course and a big field. We struggled overall to handle the pressure, but this is where we want to be. So, ladies, we'll head out to Tucson, Arizona, for the Mountain View Collegiate next week. Men finish fourth in the Duffner Tiger Invitational in Opelika, Alabama. Cameron Clark finished third place overall. So the Golden Eagles finished fourth behind as a team behind Auburn. Auburn currently ranked seventh in the nation. So great performance for Cameron Clark and the men. And they will get ready to go out to Houston March 20th and 21st for the All-American Collegiate at the Golf Club of Houston. All right, we mentioned it a little earlier, guys. Jay Ladner, now a finalist for the Hugh Durham Award. Ladner along with around 20 finalists. And, of course, that is the National Coach of the Year Award presented annually to the top D1 mid-major coach in college basketball. Kennesaw State. Howard's coach, Northwestern State. We played Coach Gibson earlier in the year. Bob Marlin from Louisiana on that list as well. I do think you gotta put Ladner up there. I get Louisiana winning and going dancing, and there's a few more turnarounds. But guys, this is the second largest turnaround in NCAA history,
and that's exactly why he is there, and he deserves at least to be a nominee. Now, Northwestern State, you talk about they're in the Southland Final against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. They've got an NCAA bid. Potentially to win, although the Islanders are the favorite in that game. And the timing we talked about, you know, couldn't be better as far as in the business aspect of basketball, because Coach Ladner, in the last year of his contract, you know, he's got the agent that's working on potentially a new deal with Jeremy McClain. And, you know, Luke, I don't see where Jay Ladner has ever really been a money guy. I think if your choices are money or longevity, I see Jay Ladner is more of a longevity guy rather than a money guy. If he was a money guy, you know, with all due respect to our beloved university, Southern Miss would not be, you know, the ending place. He'd want to get to, you know, one of those mega $1 million, you know, coaching jobs. But he's always said this is the dream job to have. So you have to wonder if in the negotiation process going forward, if Coach Ladner wouldn't opt, if those are the choices, longevity or money, that he might go with longevity. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, and there is something to say. You know, we are blessed to live in an area of the country where cost of living is far less than many other places. So the dollar stretches out. And so, you know, what a mid-major job in Mississippi might get, it might be, if you know, hacked inflation and cost of living onto it, it would be well over maybe double what it is in other parts of the country. So, to your point, I think longevity is the key.
And I think we'll find out more. You know, the NIT slate will be unveiled on Sunday night. So now, Bob, you know, I would think that the Golden Eagles have done everything in their body of work, not only on the court, but in the bleachers this year with the fans, that I think the Golden Eagles deserve a home game.
Well, I agree. I hope you're right. Are we going to have a coach on tomorrow?
I'm working on with Jack McDonald right now.
Okay, we're working to get one of the basketball coaches on the show tomorrow. Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation should be joining us as well. I don't know, Luke Johnson. It seems like the guys did more than enough to earn an opening round NIT game, but politics and money always rules the day.
You just need to let me clear my throat. Hope, not cheer. Hope that the guys from Starkville win a couple games in the SEC tournament. Maybe just one.
I'm going to have to digest that.
You'll only go so far, Bob.
I'll tell you what, though. We identify as common people a little more with that school than the one we played last night. But they're both from Mississippi.
That's correct.
That's one of the new phrases. We identify as.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Don't twist my words.
No, man. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to tell you what I identify as. I'll just tell you we're going to be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We hope you'll join us. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.